due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
You see, Punk, it's not just that The Rock is back. No, it's why The Rock is back. Here's why The Rock is back, for three reasons. The Rock is back to entertain them. The Rock is back to stop you. And after 10 long years, The Rock is back to win that.
Hey everybody, this is WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for January 12th. A couple holidays today. It's Feast of Fabulous Wild Men Day.
What?
Feast of Fabulous Wild Men Day and National Pharmacist Day. So a little B might have to go with a little A, you know? I don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, welcome to the show. If she hadn't passed, Luna Vachon would have been 51 today. Unnecessary passing, too. But, hey, the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire, Culver. Join us for WWE's Royal Rumble pay-per-view Sunday, January 27th. Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 Eastridge Road. It's going to be hosted by us. Prizes and drink specials all night. That's January 27th, WWE's Royal Rumble pay-per-view at Salvatore's at the garage door. And if you're into UFC, UFC 156 is February 2nd at Salvatore's at the garage door. It has UFC featherweight champ Jose Aldo defends his belt against Frankie Edgar. It's 10 p.m. start time. It's going to be hosted by us once again. Drink specials all night long, and we'll have a great time. And it's a $5 cover for the UFC. But if you're coming to the WWE, there's no cover. So the money you would have spent in the cover, you could spend, you know, tipping your waitresses or buying more food or buying more drinks or having a good time. You know, or even maybe possibly betting on the Royal Rumble. Maybe. What? Is there a way to bet on the Royal Rumble?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we know there's a way. We got to figure this out before it comes. But also, we're brought to you by Bill Gray's, home of the world's greatest cheeseburger. Check out one of their 14 locations. Our favorite is right across the street here at the Strong Museum of Play. And our friend Jamie, who brought up stuff that we didn't get, but we did get the french fries. So there's something for everyone at Bill Gray's. Find the nearest Bill Gray's to you online at
BillGrays.com.
All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man, Rich Church. I'm here with the Artiste. Good morning, Artiste. Happy New Year.
Thank you, you too.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I haven't seen you since, around what, Christmas, was it?
I don't even know. I can't even recap the last month.
You do look like a raisin because of being in the hot tub of love, but you know, for all that time.
I wish I had been in a hot tub. No, lots of traveling. I think like December 15th might have been my last time off here.
Holy cow!
It's good to be in this.
Nice
morning.
My
first of two trips to the studio today.
Yeah,
so
that's right, because you got a hockey game later tonight. And if you do listen to the Rochester Amherst on WHTK, how could you not? It's the only place you can hear them.
True.
You'll hear Mr. Rob Sanderson, aka the Artiste, but that's a secret. Don't anyone know that he does. He's at the arena, doing interviews and commentary and whatnot. You know, you do a great job too.
Hockey season's been pretty busy for me, and now it gets even busier. But it's one of my favorite months of the year in wrestling, and my favorite pay per view coming up. So
yeah.
Good to talk about that this morning.
You better be here for that one.
Oh, yeah.
January 27th. You have it circled on your calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and we got the Danger Boys with us, too. Danger Boy, who rare miss last Saturday. You know, you guys, I don't know if you know this to both, but I had, like, you know, the flu last week, and I just was a wreck in here, and this just was a disaster on the air. I just was pushing the wrong buttons. But JB came and bailed us out. So we had Jeremy Borash on last week, and he bailed us out. But it was just not a pretty day for – and Jay-Z came in and – thank goodness he's not here though this week, but he came in and spelled me on the air while I was suffering, we'll just say. But hey, flu season's over, and now everybody up here is going to blame me for giving it to him. So
Yeah, hopefully this whole town can get healthy, because I've had a cold, then I get healthy, then I have a cold, then nobody. Last night I was next to somebody that was sick, so I'm sure it's coming back. It's just
oh great,
yeah. And now the weather is nicer, so hopefully that change doesn't
get healthy, so you can get together with a big bunch of people and watch wrestling, you know, and then pass their illnesses around.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have kids. But by the way, let's talk about wrestling. That's what we're here to do. Very first off the bat, I didn't even put it on the news, but yesterday Trent Beretta was released by the WWE. I don't remember the last time.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's not on the news, but it happened last night. Trent Beretta was released.
So all of this, the Trentoning.
Yes.
And wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is another guy from, well, first it was, who's the guy with the dreads that was with him? Is him?
Tyler Rex.
Tyler Rex, Trent, and there was one other guy. Curtis Hawkins.
Curtis Hawkins, yeah. Falls in that category. Yeah.
So he's the last man standing of that threesome there. But he's very thankful for everything, and we haven't seen him on TV in quite a while, anyways.
Just seen him on NXT, but that's interesting. That's a little shocking to me. But
yeah, there's some big news that really did come down this past week. I mean, but before we go too far, let's talk a little bit about The Rock returning to Raw. We have the Raw 20th anniversary this week, which technically I think was yesterday, the date, but this is the 20th anniversary show coming up this Monday. And we had The Rock. What did you guys think of the 3-hour show with The Rock? I mean, it pulled numbers that they haven't seen since August for the company, so they're very happy with the ratings boost. Of course, it was head-to-head with a game that was the national championship game, which was supposed to be unbelievable, and 20 minutes into the game, it was over. So also a lot of people.
BCS is a joke.
Yeah, a lot of people to change the channel and go to the wrestling or wherever else they wanted to go. Two Broke Girls or whatever is on at that same time.
Two
I don't know.
Girls,
I have no idea what's on Monday night. So
I think that is Monday night.
Is it?
I've
okay.
never seen it. But.
Yeah, neither have I. But I'm sure
it's hot though.
Whatever. Yeah, she's in the 40-year-old virgin.
Yes.
She's like, yeah, okay. Nevertheless,
Gina and Gina.
No, that's Mo Collins, and that's not her.
Okay.
No, the daughter of. Never mind. So it was on last night. I was watching a little bit of it, but so they all turned over and they had great numbers, and The Rock reappeared. And do you feel that was a Rock promo worthy of the one where he reappeared against John Cena a year ago at this time?
No,
I don't think so either.
I thought it was pretty weak, to be honest. I think.
Well, it sounds like he was doing a term paper, because he always asked the question and then he would answer the question. What does The Rock think about this? The Rock thinks three things about this, and then he goes and reads the three things off. You know, he kept doing that all night, and it's like very term paperish. You know.
See, I think Rock, as much as I don't care for him, I think he got some good digs in on John Cena, and I know this was just really the first night of him kind of verbally going after CM Punk.
Yeah.
But in terms of mic work that night, Punk won, Rock zero.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree. I think Punk did hold his own against The Rock. Punk, you know, but then again, Punk said some things that were just outlandish.
Fantastic.
Outlandish, like the line about Bruno Sammartino selling out once a month. I could do that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're no. Danger Boy.
No, he did have a point though that back in the day, the wrestling they did back in the day wasn't nearly as physically demanding as it is right now.
No, you're right. And I mean, and you know what? And if they were smart, they wouldn't put Punk and Triple and TLC matches every week on TV. But then again, he hasn't wrestled on TV in like, what, a month?
No, he's been off for a month because of that knee injury.
Knee injury that he was really sidelined for a week with, but
yeah.
they turned it into a month and a half.
His promo, though, wasn't as revolutionary as the first pipe bomb. It wasn't.
No, because he's a bad guy now.
Yeah.
And so he had to add in the digs into the audience in the middle of it.
But
I agree with the people that he mentioned were being held back in jokes, but that we all know that. You know, Brodus Clay, the big goofball. What do you call him? Shucking and jiving?
Yeah.
Nope. You know, I've never shucked and jived in my life. I don't know what he's talking about.
Who's it?
That's what Brodus wrote in his Twitter.
Tyson Kidd. He threw in the reference.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd.
There was one more, wasn't there?
Daniel Bryan,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Coming out and, you know, the punt or the catchphrases and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, you're not telling us anything we don't know, but if you were a face, you could have continued on, but he had to proceed to go and then downplay the audience.
I'm much more entertained by that stuff than The Rock talking in third person like this is 1998 all over again. I hope Punk destroys him. As a wrestling fan, I don't really like that again, Punk has been built up for so long with that belt, and they're just going to ruin it all by handing it over to a guy who's never around.
And if you ask a guy in the street who CM Punk is, they have no idea. If you ask them who The Rock is, they know exactly who it is.
Yeah, but that's why The Rock doesn't have the title. But wrestling fans are the ones who are paying the tickets. The guy in the street's not coming to the show.
The guy in the street might buy the pay-per-view because The Rock's there, though. Because he was
wrestling. He might show up
at
Salvatore's at the garage door to come watch it because The Rock's there.
Yeah,
I don't think
I'll
he's
him.
Yeah.
Because that's what this business, everybody is so caught up in the
you
Rock.
You sound like a little authority because he hated The Rock.
I always hated The Rock, too. But, I mean, this I appreciate what he did for this business. And there are so many things that he was the best ever at. I understand that, but there's nonverbal things going on here. But that being said, this wrestling business is never going to move on. Everybody loved the Attitude Era, and that was the best time in wrestling, and we can all agree on that. And that's when this show started. But we're now in 2013, as much as I forget to write that on checks and stuff.
Me too.
And this business has to move on at some point. If we keep putting out examples that guys like The Rock are better than the current roster, then we're always going to be living in the past, and this business will never get to where it used to be.
No, and you know, the interesting thing you bring up, too, is think about this. Five of the six guys that are going to be in main event matches at WrestleMania aren't going to be back with a company after them.
Right.
So, I mean, really, what are they selling here?
Right, yeah, let me buy a ticket to a house
Undertaker,
show 2 weeks after WrestleMania and see none of these guys.
I can see Undertaker and Triple H? No, I don't think so. You can see The Rock? No, I don't think so.
Oh, but here's
just a quick question.
Sheamus for you.
How were the ratings this week when The Rock was on?
Okay.
Oh, they were
right.
Like,
and then all of those
August.
People leave again, and that's my point.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's a quick little sell, and then it goes back to nothing, and then nobody cares anymore. And then the business never evolves. You just keep living in the past and keep doing the quick little cash in for money. And that's not like, that's short-term business, which I hate.
But I will say one thing. Rock is scheduled for virtually every Raw between now and WrestleMania. Not every SmackDown, but every pay-per-view between now and WrestleMania.
I can't believe he can make time for a SmackDown this week. Well, congratulations, Rock. I'm proud of you.
Did you see him
something.
Last night?
No.
What a crowd. What a loud crowd it was. You know? I got to say one thing. He's not making movies, I don't think, right now, but I know that he's promoting G.I. Joe again. I think he was doing it a year ago at this time, too, when they decided to not put it out. Mm. But he will be doing G.I. Joe around WrestleMania time. And there is another movie he's going to be starting.
He's going to have a bunch of movies he's promoting around WrestleMania
time.
But
he committed himself back then to this. The movies are going to have to work around his schedule. And
everybody has to work around his schedule.
True.
I feel as a wrestling fan, I have to work around his schedule, and I'm sick of it.
222-1280, star 1280 is the number if you want to give us your 2 cents on what we're talking about. I got to say that even Punk doesn't care if he goes, if you show up once a year, I don't care. I'm still going to beat your butt. You know, he kept saying, you know, I don't care what if you're here 16 days, I don't care. You know, and it's funny is because he was, you know, quoting things that I'm sure he's seen online, you know, when it comes to, you know, how many dates he's actually going to be there, you know.
It doesn't matter to me who The Rock ends up facing at WrestleMania. My main motivation to get a ticket is to boo him out of MetLife Stadium.
Boo him out.
And hope he never comes back.
Okay, now you guys can call and talk about that. We do have a TNA guest in the next segment. We're going to be joined by Frankie Kazarian. Which you've got pay-per-view. And real quickly, I want to talk a little about TNA. The bombshell that came out, what was it, yesterday or the day before? Bombshell that TNA, and not only, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, how they were getting rid of one or two pay-per-views. Well, now they're only doing four live pay-per-views this year coming up. They're having four live pay-per-views, and the rest are going to be taped specials. The four live pay-per-views are as Genesis, which is the one that's this week, and then Lockdown, which is in March, Slammiversary in June, and Bound for Glory will be the last live pay-per-view of the year in October. And all the other pay-per-views are going to be, like, for instance, in April 5th, instead of having a pay-per-view, they're going to have an All X Division tape show. And then,
it's still going to be a pay-per-view, but it's going to be a reduced price.
Yeah, reduced price, too, as well as the next one will be May, Joker's Wild Tag Team Show, which... is I think they're taping this weekend too, which looks pretty cool actually.
It's like the old Lethal Lottery.
Yeah, so they're doing some different stuff, but they're only going to be doing four live pay-per-views, so it gives them a lot longer, I guess, to build up these angles too. You know, and after last week, if I got to see Bully Ray kiss anybody in my life again, I don't want to see it on TV. That's for sure.
I'm a big fan of the real pay-per-views. I'm sorry to word it that way, TNA. The real pay-per-views being cut down to the four major ones because they only have 2 hours of programming on TV every week, and therefore they shouldn't be running a legit pay-per-view every single month, in my opinion.
It's a rush. It's a rush. Even with WWE, it's a rush job.
And I know that it's a discounted price, but my interest level in taped anything and taped Friday night pay-per-views is not even 5% of what it is for a live Sunday pay-per-view event. So I'm very happy that the big pay-per-views are going to be spot. They're going to be in the spotlight. Like they are more important than every other month, which is the way it should be. But I'm not a big fan of taped shows. Just like a side comment, which maybe we'll get into more later on. Alberto Del Rio winning the belt on a taped show. Well, and then right, yeah. We're now in an era where WWE spoils it for you. You don't even have to go on the dirt sheets or
well,
anything.
They wanted to beat the guys before they started posting it.
Yeah,
so.
And that drives me nuts because I don't like watching something that I already know it's going
to
happen.
True. We got to go to break, okay? We got to get Frankie Kazarian on the flip side. I got a real interesting thing that happened when I was with Frankie Kazarian, and we'll do it in just a minute here. But we got to go to break. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280-STAR-1280. We'll be back with part of TNA's Bad Influence team on the flip side. Frankie Kazarian will be joining us to promote TNA's Genesis tomorrow. One of four live pay-per-views TNA is doing this year. And you are listening to The Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
The more popular you are, the more money you make. The more you people cheer for any given superstar, the more opportunities you're afforded. Why do you think a guy like John Cena, who has admittedly had the worst year of his career, gets title shot after title shot after title shot after title shot? Or why a lethal grappler, why a serious submission specialist like Daniel Bryan puts a smile on his face and saddles himself, belittles himself with catchphrases? Or why a 400-pound monster, Brodus Clay, soils his hands by touching your filthy, ugly little children to get in the ring so he can shuck and jive for you? Or why an invisible child, little Jimmy, is better positioned on the flagship show, Monday Night Raw, than a workhorse like Tyson Kidd?
How's it going, Alan? That's a great t-shirt. Where'd you get it?
It's my Pain Clinic t-shirt, the official t-shirt of the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I got it off their webpage.
How can I get one?
Well, you go to feelthepain.net and click on the t-shirt link. It's going to cost you $20 with the shipping and handling included. Remember, go to feelthepain.net. Get your shirt today. They're going fast.
Yes! Rock and load! Rock and load! Bring on the pain!
On and on to the Baker Dog. On and on to the Baker Dog.
Hey, Pain Clinic fans, it's me, Jay-Z. You and I both know that wrestling fans are complex individuals with interests far removed from our favorite predetermined match sport. We love movies, we love comics, we love TV. I talk about all that and more on my new podcast, The Fanboy Tollbooth. Check us out on my website, fanboytollbooth.com, or just subscribe to us on iTunes. It's The Fanboy Tollbooth, navigating the highway of popular culture.
Hey. You don't get noticed until you start to move a couple of t-shirts around here. If I competed in Bruno Sammartino's era, I'd have been champion for 20 years too. No, I'd have been champion for 30 years. Because wrestling one night a month in Madison Square Garden is easy.
I don't have to answer to you, Kurt. And, as a matter of fact, I always never did like you.
I'll tell you what, Ken. The feeling's mutual.
Mr. Anderson! Anderson, and you are listening to the Pain Clinic, pro wrestling talk show on 1280 WHTK, Rochester Sports Talk. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman here with the Artiste and Danger Boy, and we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Join us for WWE's Royal Rumble, Sunday, January 27th, Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. Hosted by us, prizes and drink specials all night long, and no cover. That's January 27th. It'll be the last Sunday in January, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And WWE's Royal Rumble pay-per-view at Salvatore's at the garage door. Come on down, enjoy us. We'll have a good time. I promise you, we will have a good time. Now, we got a special guest on the phone with us right this very minute. Joining us is a man who is a multi-time X Division champ as well as three-time TNA Tag Team champ, most recently with his Bad Influence partner, Christopher Daniels. Let's welcome Frankie Kazarian to the Pain Clinic. I got to say, this is the first time we've had you, sir, and we've been on the air since 1998, so it's truly an honor to get you on finally.
It's a pleasure to be on. 98's the year I started. So, and on top of being a multi-tag champion, X-Division champion, I'm also a multitasker. So I want that written down and noted and highlighted.
You are a multitasker, without a doubt, and you're a SoCal kid, too, which is...
I am a SoCal kid.
Yes. Since this is the first time we've had you on, I want to know, did you know you wanted to wrestle early in life when you were growing up?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it was, every kid, you know, dreams of either being a firefighter, a cop, a superhero, an actor, a football player, an athlete, wrestler. And, I kind of was just like any other kid and fell in love with wrestling at the age of 7 years old and grew up loving it. And fortunately or unfortunately, never really grew out of it. And it was just one of those things that I always had in my mind that I wanted to do, but... Back in those days, wrestling training wasn't as readily available as it was, so it took a lot of research. And while friends were getting ready for college and whatnot and military and various other life experiences, I was sitting away for books on information to wrestling schools and writing past wrestlers, trying to find training and, you know, doing everything I could to see what I needed to do to take my first step into this wacky business of pro wrestling. So, yeah, so ever since, you know, I guess 7 years old, 8 years old, fell in love with it, and it's been a bittersweet romance all these years.
Very, very cool. Now you were one of the last guys to be trained by Killer Kowalski.
Yeah.
Now you're a SoCal kid, and you're moving to Massachusetts, which is probably a shock to the system as it is for the weather.
Yeah.
What was it to draw you to his school?
It was a huge culture shock, first of all. Yeah. I had actually, I'd been researching schools and sending away for stuff and getting pamphlets and information on every school I could possibly find. And there were schools in California, schools that I would eventually return to and promotions that I would work with. But, I knew about certain guys that were training. Like, I knew that the Hart Dungeon was obviously legendary and had produced some of the best in the world. And I knew that Killer Kowalski had produced some of the best in the world and actually met Bret Hart at an autograph signing as a younger man, and he actually recommended Kowalski School as a place that you can get great fundamentals and, you know, that are turning out a lot of good guys. And I knew, going in that if I was going to do this, I was going to spend the money and make whatever sacrifices I needed to make to be trained by the best. I didn't want to be trained by some ham sandwich who has a ring set up in his garage. I wanted to get trained by the best. So, yeah, man, so I saved up money. I worked, saved up money for, about a year, and moved from, basically the southwest to the northeast, which was a huge culture shock, being a Southern California kid. Laid-back California, moving up to the hustle and bustle and the surliness of the New England folk. But I was blessed enough to be trained by Killer Kowalski. I didn't have a whole lot of friends. I made a few friends, but the benefit of that was I rode to every practice with Walter Kowalski. We went to church together, became great friends, and it's a dear, dear relationship that I treasure. And it's the reason I am where I am is 100% because of Killer Kowalski, and I'll always, always give him his due credit.
Very cool. Maybe someday in the future when you're done in the ring, you can pass it down and pick up and teach what you learned from him to other people.
Yeah, I mean, teaching wrestling is a fine art, and it's a lost art. And if I was blessed to have that patience and that ability to train younger wrestlers, that'd be great. I don't know that I do. That's something that it takes a special breed of cat to do. I don't know if I'm at this point, I don't know if I'm patient enough or if I'm selfless enough to do that. That's why my hat is off to any good pro wrestling trainer, because it's such a strange business to try to teach somebody, especially when you're talking the fundamentals, the psychology, the all the anguish that goes into it mentally and physically. So.
Very,
we'll see.
Cool. Well, I mean, people will be lucky, to be able to learn what you learned so that, maybe someday that'll happen. Who knows? But, now after that, you started working with, Nova in a tag team.
Yep.
And, of course, Nova had been the ECW vet at the time when you were working with him. Did his experience assist you in understanding maybe what was expected at the quote unquote major league?
Yeah. I mean, it was cool. I'd, when I eventually, basically run out of finances and moved back to Southern California and started working with first with Jesse Hernandez and Bill Anderson, who ran Empire Wrestling Federation, which is still running today. And those guys were great. They gave me a great forum to do my thing. You know, eventually started with UPW, which became very hot in Southern California, and they were bringing on a lot of, at the time, WWF guys and ECW guys. And, yeah, they brought in Nova, and the promoter at the time, Rick Bassman, saw us standing next to each other, and we had a similar look, similar in-ring style, and decided to put us together as a team. And, you know, it was one of those things where we just gelled. Our styles were similar. And because of teaming with Nova, I got a lot of experience, and I also got a lot of opportunities to wrestle elsewhere, especially in the New York, New Jersey area, Philadelphia, and just get to experience a lot more wrestling, a lot more wrestlers at the time. And, it really opened my eyes, and I think it opened a lot of promoters' eyes. You know, I'm really blessed in the sense that there was never a guy that had to, you know, send tapes out to try to get work, which, you know, because I know being an independent wrestler, it's very difficult to get work, especially now. You know, but I always, you know, back then it was word of mouth, and, oh, I heard this guy was good. And Nova helped me out a great deal with that. You know, he really, showed me the ropes, no pun intended. And it was a cool experience, you know. It was a cool experience teaming. It was a cool experience working different places and different people. And, you know, and he had just come off of, being an ECW guy. And, you know, and I was all ears. I was, you know, I was a sponge, and I still am. And it was just about soaking up as much knowledge as you can.
Cool. And I read something, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was something about you and John Cena and Samoa Joe would do some freestyle rapping when you guys were on the tour buses.
Yeah, well, we would, it wasn't necessarily back then, it wasn't necessarily tour buses. It was, during the UPW training sessions, a lot of times, oftentimes, there was very, you know, we'd have late night training sessions, like 8, 9 o'clock in Huntington Beach. And the only guys that would show up consistently, the only guys that would show up were John Cena, Samoa Joe, myself, and a lot of Aaron Aguilera and the Ballard brothers. And those were the consistent guys, and that's something I will say to aspiring wrestlers. You can see a pattern. The guys that want it are always there training. Anyway, so, you know, we were all friends, Joe, John, and I, and oftentimes we'd end up at Samoa Joe's house at the time in Garden Grove, and they'd put on a big Samoan feast for us no matter what time of the day, and we'd have eating contests, and just talk about old school Nintendo games, do some battle rapping. I guess I didn't even know that's what it was called at the time. This was long before Eminem or anything like that. And, you know, I'm a heavy metal guy, so I would battle rap badly. And, you know, we were pals, you know, we were just guys that were always, you know, training and, you know, just hanging together. And the guys I still, you know, consider friends, regardless if I see them, you know, every week, like is the case with Joe, or, you know, the occasional when I do see John. You know, those are they're good human beings, and both those guys, their attitude and their hard work is their best asset.
Awesome. Now I got to tell you, I saw you wrestle in Rochester, New York, for the WW. I think it was F at the time, or maybe it was WWE. And you'd been there for a short time. In a couple sentences, how would you describe your time working with them?
It was good. It was like everything else in life and in this business and in my career, it was a learning experience. It was something that I don't think was mentally prepared and or mature enough to handle at that stage. It was part of the procession of my dream and accomplishing goals, and definitely a learning experience. And I don't live my life with regrets, and I don't regret one second of that. So, you know, it was good.
Very cool. I was going to say, now they didn't make you cut your hair, did they, when you were
no.
there?
No.
Okay.
That's been said and probably will be said till the end of time.
Yeah.
No.
No, I was going to say, because it seems like, you know, I was just looking at a year ago some pictures from you and you had long hair, and now you've gone back to the tight look, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Much, much less maintenance.
Oh, big time. No.
The people at Pantene are furious at me because my endorsement deal was waiting, and then I went ahead and cut my hair off.
Uh-oh.
They're furious at me. There's lawsuits pending. It's messy.
Now, did you, with the time that you were doing working as Suicide for TNA, did you enjoy working under a mask? Was that a lot of fun to do that different character?
I don't know what you're talking about. The only time I worked as Suicide is when I played as him in a video game.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
And cool. He sucked. Every time I played as him, he sucked.
You couldn't win the championship with him eventually?
Couldn't win the championship with him.
Oh, man. Well, they. Now, I've loved what you and Daniels have done the past year. And last week, you continued on, I'll call it the post AJ Styles era.
That's a great. I may use that on television.
All right.
And I'm gonna, yeah.
The post AJ Styles era with shots at James Storm. Anyone else you two are zeroing in on, you know?
I mean, you know, whoever's in our crosshair. I mean, you know, you just, the funny and some would say dangerous thing about Chris Daniels and myself is that it's that we're live every week. And that being live every week is a really cool aspect, and there's a really cool vibe here. Basically, giving us a live mic is like putting a knife in Jack the Ripper's hand.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, you never know what we're going to say. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it's impersonating AJ Styles, if it's impersonating James Storm. You know, tomorrow I might paint my face like a Rubik's Cube and pretend I'm Jeff Hardy. Who knows? You know, so it's the freedom of us being us is what's fun and what's really pushing us right now.
I'll tell you, I love what you guys have been doing. And are you a fan of the Appletini, or do you just leave those to Chris?
Oh, I leave those to Chris. I'm not a... if I indulge in the occasional alcoholic beverage, it's usually maybe a red wine or a malted beverage. I leave the Appletinis to Chris Daniels. I think they're disgusting, but you know what? It's to each his own. And if you're man enough to come out there with an Appletini of all things, more power to you. And you know, God bless Chris for drinking them.
Without a doubt. I mean, he is, and he's a trendsetter with those Appletinis. Everyone will be taking them soon, right?
Absolutely.
Now, are you seconding him on the pay-per-view this weekend?
I'll be around. Chris Daniels never needs, you know, my help whatsoever, but I'm there for moral support. I'm, James Storm is a gifted grappler. He's also a cheater, and he has a terrible beard, and he's a drunk. So I'll definitely be in the house just to make sure there's no, tomfoolery and or shenanigans, just doing my part as a upstanding citizen and upstanding member of the TNA roster.
And part of bad influence.
And part of bad influence, of course.
All right.
So I'll definitely be in the house. Or locker room. There's actually no house here, so I'll be in the locker room.
All right. Now, I saw your top five metal band post on Twitter earlier this week.
Yep.
And I love the selections, I got to say, but some of it would seem more of a classic or quote-unquote oldies metal lineup that you mentioned. And it's hard to picture oldies metal, but, you know, it's from some of the bands like Sabbath you mentioned and Guns N' Roses, over 20 years old. So
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that was it's hard to, you know, it's just I put all those bands in the – I guess you could just put them all in the genre of hard rock. I mean, you know, we can break down thrash metal, speed metal, heavy metal, you know, grunge, you know, rap core, all that. But, you know, yeah, some of my favorite band obviously is Metallica. They've been together 30-plus years, and, you know, that's, you know, I was 4 years old, 5 years old when they formed. So, but, yeah, all those bands, you know, whether it's going back as far as Sabbath, and then, you know, obviously Sabbath is, you know, the grandfathers of heavy metal. And, you know, then you have Priest and Maiden, you know, who opened the doors for bands like Metallica and Guns N' Roses and bands like Pantera and then now bands like Avenged Sevenfold. And, you know, it's, I'm a fan of heavy metal. I'm a fan of good heavy metal. I find that, as I get older, you know, I don't care for a lot of the newer stuff coming out. And so I, you know, resort back to stuff I listened to as a kid and, you know, the stuff from the 70s and 80s. You know, I thought that was just a great era for music if you're a fan of, you know, hard rock.
Sure, I agree. I've seen four of the five bands on your list, so I think that without a doubt that's you have some great taste there, and I'd love to listen to your iPod in the gym, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty much stock full of that, you know, with the occasional the occasional random embarrassing song popping up like everybody I'm sure has on their iPod, and if they don't, they're lying. and I'm also a big fan of this might be strange when I listen to music in the gym, for instance. I like good movie scores, like, you know, for instance, like Braveheart is one of my favorites, and Last of the Mohicans. So, you know, I just find that, you know, like, you know, Hans Zimmer and John Williams type composers, and, you know, they really have a power behind what they do, and, you know, and classical music is the root of all music. So I kind of get into a little bit of that too, but. Yeah, by far, I'm heavy metal all the way.
I think that's so cool because you just mentioned I used to put those on my iPod in the last year. Stuff like
is that right? Yeah,
Indiana Jones theme,
yeah,
Star
yeah,
Wars.
Both are, it's good, you know. It's just powerful music. And if you know that music was in one of those blockbuster type movies, you know, obviously it, you know, it invokes some type of emotion in you, and so I'm a big fan of certain types of that music. You know, I can only handle, you know, bits and pieces.
Sure. You know, yeah. I just do like the main titles and the last one, like Superman, the theme from Superman, because it just gets you motivated.
You can't not want to, you know, leap tall buildings in single bound when you hear, you know, the first bar of course,
yeah.
You know. I hear that in my head every day when I wake up.
It's great. Yep. Well, I want to thank you so much for the time. I want to ask one more question before I let you go. Social media thoughts.
Yep.
You're on social media, and what do you think, this is a good thing for this wrestling business, or is it, you know, I mean, allowing people to, you know, interact with the fans via like Twitter or Facebook, stuff like that?
God, you know, it's just the evolution. It's just the evolution of, I mean, you know, modern technology, and then, you know, with pro wrestling, like anything, it has its good points and its bad points. You know, the bad points being the people that are only there for negative and only there to tear down, and these people that have an open forum to, you know, to threaten and to swear and to only focus on the negative. You know, that part of it kind of sucks, but you're never going to escape that. But you know, the good part of that is being able to interact with fans the way we do is super, super cool. It's something that I would have gone nuts for when I was a kid. I mean, you know, like, when I used to go to wrestling shows at the old Los Angeles sports arena, if I could even get close enough to maybe touch a wrestler, it was, you know, that would make my year. It was just, they were so unobtainable. Now I could, as a wrestling fan, for instance, I could ask my favorite wrestler a question, and there's a chance he's going to look at my question and respond to me. That's awesome, you know. And I find it cool. It's a great promotion tool. I know TNA is very social media friendly, and I think they've done a great job, you know, really, really interacting with the fans, and, you know, letting the fans' voices be heard. I dig it for, I'd like to talk about a lot of non-wrestling stuff. You know, I think that a lot of people that follow me kind of know my deal. They know, you know, where I've been, where I'm going, and all that. So when they ask the music question, the movie question, anything else, you know, I'll really kind of get into conversations about that. And I think it's cool to, you know, that they can get to know us as people as well, instead of just what they see on television. Because, you know, a lot of times what they see on television when it comes to Chris Daniels and me, you know, people might think we're a little bit of a jerk, or, you know, a little, not such a nice person, but that's not the case.
Sure. No, and I think it's great to, I think it's a great thing myself too. And, you know, people just, you know, they'll see a retweet from one of their favorite wrestlers of their stuff, and it's like, you know, it just, they'll save it forever and remember stuff like that. But I want to thank you for the time, and I want to thank, let people know this man immortalized by Marvel Comics, Amazing Spider-Man, Frankie Kazarian, can be seen every Thursday,
yep,
on Spike TV with TNA's Impact Wrestling. In fact, that'll be tonight, as well as this Sunday on TNA's Genesis pay-per-view. And then we're not talking about the band Genesis, we're talking about the pay-per-view Genesis.
Or we're not talking about the video game console Genesis either.
That's right.
But I will say that Altered Beast was a great game.
But, you know, it was a very limited time that the Genesis system was out there too.
Yep. I remember it. I got it for Christmas.
All right.
I loved it.
I want to thank you for the time, Kaz, and please say hi to your wife from us at the Pain Clinic.
Absolutely.
We've had her
Absolutely.
On quite a few times, so thanks so much for everything.
My pleasure, man. Thank you. It was a good time.
Thank you, and we'll see. We'll watch it tonight.
For sure. Yep. Watch Genesis, and got a lot of stuff coming up.
Beautiful. And maybe we will see you come in this area when you guys tour up in the Rochester, Toronto, Buffalo area again soon.
I hope so. If TNA wants to sell tickets, they'll put me on the card.
That's right. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure.
Frankie Kazarian. I got to tell you, now, I'm going to give away a little trade secret here, folks. I taped the interview with him on Thursday, but I don't know if you guys are fans of the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Are you? How about you guys?
Of course.
You guys know Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
No comment.
Okay, well, you know Jason Hervey, who's a producer for TNA, he was the kid in Pee-wee's Big Adventure who eventually got Pee-wee's bike. Pee-wee's bike was stolen, and Pee-wee was searching, yep, across the country to find it. But Jason Hervey, I was talking with Kazarian, and I was joking around before we started doing the interview. And this is what happened. And I got to tell you, Jason Hervey has probably the funniest lines in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, because he's like a professional little kid, but he's at a movie set, and the nun makes mistakes, and he goes, and he looks at her like he's like a little rotten kid telling her to get it right. And so I start talking with Kazarian, and this is what happens.
One of the stars of Pee-wee's Big Adventure just walked in the room as you said that.
He's the guy who said it, in fact.
I'm always ready.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. First call. I'm ready.
Yep.
Roll!
There you go. There you go. It does not get any more authentic than that.
Wow.
I hope you had your recorder rolling.
I did have it rolling.
That was awesome.
All right. Funniest lines in the movie. Okay, well, hey, you know what? While we're at it, so we got some calls. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. We've got Rick from Rochester. Rick, what's happening, bro?
Yeah, that sequence was classic, and then they go through the studios in the back of Warner Brothers Studios.
That's right. That's after he steals a bike, yes.
Yeah, it was classic, playing Twisted Sister. I got a couple questions for you. What do you think of little shake-up at developmental with Billy Gunn taking over for Bill DeMott?
Oh, Bill DeMott's gone again. I've heard nothing but bad things about
boy.
Bill DeMott anyway. So.
Yeah, lots of Kevin Matthews.
Besides the fact that he blew us off a couple times on the radio when we were supposed to interview him about his book. Not that I hold grudges or anything.
You would never
do
that.
Well, it's better to have a more accomplished wrestler like Billy Gunn in there. It's one of the more underrated wrestlers of all time.
You know what? Hugh Morris was much better than Billy Gunn in
not
his time.
Not a chance.
Oh, that's not starting.
What did Bill DeMott accomplish in the business
General Erection.
King of the Ring.
Yeah. He was huge erection.
He was huge erection, yeah.
Okay,
hey now, this is a G-rated
show. Hold on a second. I didn't even hear that. So when did that happen? Yesterday? Because they were doing their...
I believe I seen it on Wrestling Inc.
Oh, well, you know what? I guess we're not going to see him in the season two of Tough Enough on USA if that ever happens.
They can't do a season
right
two
around the corner. Yeah.
They did nothing with the winner of season one.
That season one got cut after a month.
That ruined the history of the show.
You shouldn't attempt the positive either.
Two other things. Trent Beretta got released. I didn't know much about him. I heard he was a decent wrestler. Bits and pieces I heard. How do you know who he is?
Trent Beretta.
He was on SmackDown for a long time.
Yeah, he was.
Who was he? What was his character?
Trent Beretta.
Trent Beretta. He was
Trent Beretta. I never even heard of him.
I'll tell you, you might remember him from one of the times that Ryback won a match. He was one of the guys that lost the match. So, you know, besides our own, what was his name? Oh, I can't remember what
Bobby Shields.
Bobby Shields' name when he lost to Ryback. But he's one of the guys who lost to Ryback. He was partners with we talked about this earlier in the show. You got to tune in early.
I got a service call in my basement. Isaac, he's here. I'm sorry.
Huh? Isaac's there?
Isaac's there. I'm sorry. Okay. I can't listen to the whole show.
I don't even know who Isaac
did
is.
Did you call 2-7? Never mind.
Okay. Hold on. What was his partner's name again?
Wasn't it Kalen Croft? They were Dude Busters.
Kalen, Dude Busters, as well as the guy with the dreads in his hair.
Well, they were just part of the mid-card mafia.
Tyler Rex. They were part of the mid-card mafia. Tyler Rex and Trent Beretta. He's a good wrestler.
Oh, okay. You're all right.
He definitely needed to be up there, but he was a guy that wasn't getting used. I mean, don't be surprised if you see Woo 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 gone too, because
I don't know, they like him tagging with Brodus Clay.
He just produced his very last Z Truly Hollywood story this past week. He's not making any more, but I think that he's causing more problems than positive things. I wouldn't be surprised if Zack Ryder got cut too.
And one other thing, how much truth is there to behind this Punk Flair online Twitter battle?
I don't know. Maybe you'll see Flair on the 20th anniversary of Raw this Monday confront Punk. I don't know. Remember that they had a little confrontation a couple weeks ago, you know, when they had the slammies. So
they had another pipe bomb, so, I mean, I guess
CM Punk
shoots from the hip.
Yeah, but pipe bombs aren't good when you're a heel. I mean, you know what? I mean, yes, you know, if you could, like, separate the character, if he was, like, you know, if nobody booed him all the time, some of the stuff he said was actually gold.
Yeah, if he just came out as Phil, you know, then he'd probably get more heat.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Phil Brooks. Now, who's that?
I've never heard of the cat.
Yeah, okay. What else, brother?
And also, I'm getting a little ticked off at the Divas division. I mean, yes, there's only a certain amount of time on there, but, you know, if there's not enough time to, you know, squeeze in matches, you know, like 4 or 5 minute little squash matches, you know, relegate it to, you know, Saturday mornings or one of these off shows, you know, it's... I mean, TNA does so well with their knockout division.
I certainly wouldn't mind squeezing a few divas. I mean,
no pun intended, right?
Here's the problem. When Caitlyn is one of the stars of your divas division, you have issues.
Well, Eve is the star of the show.
Yeah, Eve is great. She's improved a lot.
Hey, Rick, we got to go to break. Thank you for coming, brother. All right, 222-1280, Star Toys number. I got a couple quick plugs before we go to break. Tonight, NWA New York. They've got a show going on. It's called Wrestle Bowl 2013. They're located at 1200 Buffalo Road, Rochester. The doors open at 5:30. Bell time is at 6. Tickets are $15 at the door. That's tonight at the Eagles Club, 1200 Buffalo Road. You can catch Russell Brawl 2013. And did you say Ormond Tutuga's on it again?
Yeah.
There's some great wrestlers. You want to see some great wrestling in town, you definitely got to go check that out. And if you're into collectibles, my friend Ernie O's collectible show is tomorrow. The 2013 Collector Fest Monthly kicks off tomorrow at Webster Columbus Center. That's 70 Barrett Drive. The show is from 10A to 3P. If you like comic books, baseball cards, stuff like that, check it out. There's always a great deal to be found, and they give away prizes if you're there. Check it out. We got to go to break. Give us a call. 222-1280, star 1280. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
And while you're at it, somebody show this man a doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? Because a man who claims that he's straight edge, he's running around here looking exactly like Popeye on crack. Look at you. Punk guy, the crackhead. All you need right now is a little thing in your mouth. Little toot toot.
I know our entire relationship has played out in front of the entire world. I don't care. I want everybody to know how much I care for you, how much I love you, and I want you to marry me.
Two types of people on this earth, those born to be in the spotlight and those born to pay to see the people in the spotlight. Ladies and gentlemen, there's winners and losers. Guess which one you are.
I didn't come by myself. I brought some close friends. I brought my close friend, Big Black Bat. And I brought my close friend, Shooter. And I brought my close friend, Killer. All that being said, Aces and Eights, you have been cordially invited to come get some.
This is the Stinger, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. It's showtime, folks.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with the Artiste, Danger Boy, and you. And we're going to be out at Salvatore's at the garage door January 27th for WWE's Royal Rumble. No cover charge. My favorite pay-per-view of the year by far.
Mine too.
I love it. 12. And we'll be out there January 27th. It starts at 8 o'clock. No cover. 149 Eastern Road. Come out. We're giving stuff away. We're all going to have a good time, and I implore you to come out and have a good time with us. It's always good to have a good time with like-minded people, and we'll be out there like-minding each other, I guess. That's a new adjective I just coined. But hey, we got a couple calls, and we got some news that we haven't touched yet. And by the way, Dr. Shelby is coming back for Monday Night Raw.
Excited.
Yes, and I was playing the Mr. Ryback music there because I think Ryback just got punched right down back down the totem pole of the for WWE because he lost the TLC match, which I think was probably one of the best matches on Monday Night Raw, without a doubt. But obviously, he was carried off and he was forgotten as they went to the promo between The Rock and Punk. So it just shows you he's probably knocked back down the totem pole a little bit. You have to work his way back up. But we got John from Chi Lai. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, quick question. Do a prediction yet for the Rumble?
Do we do a prediction yet for the Rumble? I think we'll do it that Saturday before it. We'll definitely go through and we'll each give our ideas. Who we think. Right now, I'm thinking it's going to be John Cena, just because.
I think my prediction is, what's his name, AJ's boyfriend there?
Oh, Dolph Ziggler? He's in it.
But he can't have money in the bank. And
he will win the Rumble, loses the match, but turn around and catch him. Briefcase and win.
Oh, that would be. I think that would be exciting. I'd love to see that. As we get closer, we'll probably all make our predictions and give our rationale. But thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a nice day.
You too, man. We got Dave from Henrietta, or as he's affectionately known now as Cookie Puss. Dave, how's it going?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Any surprises that we're going to get teased that we're going to order the pay per view for that they don't show up again this year? Anything supposed to happen from that end?
You mean for a tease? You mean for the Royal Rumble?
Or, yeah, like or the Genesis, or just, anybody coming back or something?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything yet, but I mean,
Maven Huffman.
Yeah, Maven Huffman.
Yeah. I'm gonna start that rumor right now.
My wife loves him.
Yeah, but he's not selling jewelry.
I know people that loved his theme music. That was about it.
Yeah, that's about as far as he went. I don't know. I haven't heard anything yet, but I mean, we're gonna see Ric Flair Monday Night Raw this week, most likely. If they can get Batista to reform Evolution on Monday Night Raw for a one-night-only thing. And, maybe not. Who knows? Remember last year, was it Kevin Nash? No. Was that last year or the year before?
Yeah, it was last year, wasn't it, Nash and Booker T?
Yeah, Nash and Booker T. So who knows? I haven't heard anything yet, but there'll always be, you know, the Iron Sheik will come hobbling out or something. I mean,
yeah,
I
don't have to win because he can't go over the top rope.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, but it'll be some sort of surprise, I'm sure.
Are we going to get NWO on Monday?
I hear more it's going to be Evolution, if anything, so I don't know. But I also hear Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker are going to be showing, so we'll see. And it can start The Undertaker's, his build-up for his WrestleMania match. It's going to happen, so.
And is the end game for The Rock? I mean, if he's going to win the title, is he just going to go back and lose it to Cena at WrestleMania? Is that what's supposed to be going on? And who's supposed to be facing Taker this year?
I don't even know. We don't even need to do the show anymore. You've just figured it all out. No, of course. They've got to find an elegant way to do it. I don't think The Rock is going to actually win the title at the next pay-per-view since he's dedicated to the pay-per-view after. So who knows? We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not going to, you can speculate all you want, but they every once in a while they'll throw a monkey wrench in. Is something wrong with your nose there, Danger Boy?
Yeah, it itches.
Oh, don't itch it then. All right.
And who's supposed to be going with the Taker this year?
Well, we've heard something about maybe Punk being pushed off on him, so I'm not sure if that's true or not. Oh, an oldie, man. I haven't used this clothes in forever. Hey, Dave, we got to run, buddy. Thanks for calling. All right. Next week is another week for the Pain Clinic. Check us out. You check out our website, feelthepain.net. Check us out on Facebook. I don't even know what it is on Facebook. It's Pain Clinic. Oh, my gosh. Is this Donna Summer? This is Dr. Love's old. This is Dr. Love's old theme clothes, but oh my god! I hope I see him. He's gonna be around here sometime soon. But hey, we gotta get out of here. Also, we're on Twitter too, Pain_Clinic. Anything else you guys want to plug real quick? We got about 10 seconds.
No, that's about it.
Honey buns.
Bring honey buns to the pay per view for. Ended up, by the way, they were here, but. Thank you. I want to thank Frankie Kazarian. Check out TNA Genesis this weekend, and we will see you all next week on the Pain Clinic here on Sports 1280 WHTK.